You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner in the studio, and each and every week we get one of the top sports journalists in the land to join us on the podcast, and this week no different. It's the Sunday Mirror's Midlands man, Ralph Ellis, on the line right now. First of all, good morning to you, Ralph.
And good morning to you, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well.
I'm glad we've got you on the podcast this week because the main topic in the footballing world at the moment is Jamie Vardy, and rightly so, and that's the first live game this weekend as well, Leicester City versus Manchester United. Leicester City 21-10, the draw 23-10, and Manchester United 13-10. Enhanced odds offers here could be intriguing. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win is 5-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the betting at 4-1. Ralph, you've been covering the Midlands for many years now, and are you surprised by, or surely you're surprised by Leicester City's start to the season?
Well, I think everybody's been surprised by Leicester City's start to the season, haven't they? I mean, I must admit I was among those when Claudio Ranieri was appointed, who was a bit sceptical of the appointment, and I'd be more ashamed of that if it wasn't for the list of people being sceptical, including the likes of Gary Lineker, you know. So I don't think there's too much shame in being completely wrong on that one. But Claudio's done brilliantly. He's such a lovely man and such an affable man, and he seems to have sort of taken over what was a very hard-working Leicester side under Nigel Pearson. And where sometimes when you get a quote, nice man taking over from a hard-working manager, sometimes the players sort of back off and relax. But it's not worked that way with Leicester. They seem to have loved Ranieri's style and relaxed style, but kept their own drive and inspiration and hard work. And, you know, and they've been absolutely terrific. And, of course, nobody more so than Vardy with this amazing run of 10 games in a row that he's been scoring now.
Yeah, looking to break Ruud van Nistelrooy's record against Manchester United on Saturday evening, and his rise to stardom has been astronomical. You look at just 5 years ago, he was playing for Stocksbridge Park Steels, and it wasn't just a brief spell there. I was there for 3 years, went to Halifax Town, then Fleetwood Town, and Leicester City for the last 3 years. Are you surprised at how quickly he's become a top-class player?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. When he was first at Leicester, I remember talking to people there and them telling me that they thought he could be a real top striker, but he just lacked a bit of confidence. And I think he struggled, first of all, Vardy, to sort of look at himself as a championship player when he was there, first of all, and then suddenly got going and scored a bundle of goals to get them promoted. Then I think he struggled to see himself as a Premier League player in the early part of last season. But gradually it's all come together. And you know, this year, wow, talk about confidence. I mean, I saw the goal he scored at West Brom a couple of weeks ago where he took the ball in the halfway line, played a lovely 1-2 with Danny Drinkwater and set off at the halfway line. And goodness me, from the moment he was running, and he was only 5 yards inside the West Brom half, you just thought, goal. You didn't think, oh, here's a chance or anything like that. And what's more, his body language showed he thought goal as well. And sure enough, goal it was. You know, his amazing confidence and fire and determination that he's playing with at the minute. And I mean, Ranieri has had Batistuta work with him once, scored 11 games in a row, and you'd fancy Vardy to match that this week. Given that, this is arguably the best defence that he's played again. I mean, Man U, for all their problems scoring goals themselves, they've only let in one goal in their last 7 games. And obviously Smalling has really blossomed this year, and alongside Blinder, they're a really powerful combination in the back of the defence. So it's as big a test as Vardy will get, but if he gets a chance, you'd fancy him to bury it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that enhanced odds offer here with William Hill. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester City to win, 5-1. You cast your mind back to this fixture in September 2014, when Leicester turned that match on its head against Manchester United, winning 5-3 in the end, and Jamie Vardy created four goals and scored one. That was the first moment his name really became prominent in the public's consciousness, and I wonder whether that 5-1 is a little bit big. Do you fancy Leicester on Saturday?
Yeah, I tell you what, the moment I heard you saying 5-1, letting Vardy to score and Leicester to win, I thought, oh yeah, I might have some of that. I like that bet, definitely.
Where do you think Manchester United are at the moment? You mentioned how strong they've been defensively. However, this isn't historically the Manchester United way. They're not coming forward in their droves. They seem a little bit scared to put a foot wrong under Louis van Gaal.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I mean, van Gaal will tell you how good they are and how well they're doing, but you know, again, the critics include some big ex-Man U players who don't like the way they're playing, say it's not the Manchester United way. They pine for the days of wingers and Ronaldo pouring forward. And I'll tell you who else probably pines for those days, although he'd never be able to say that publicly himself, is Wayne Rooney, because he's been struggling for goals. And you know, part of the reason, I think, is he's not getting the sort of service he was used to in his heyday. The year he came close to winning the Golden Boot was the year that Ronaldo was flying down the wing and laying stuff on for him.
Going with Leicester then there, Ralph, do you fancy the upset?
I think I would do, yes. I think I would do, especially the sort of form Leicester are in at the moment. I think I would.
On to Sunday's live games then, Ralph. We'll start with Tottenham versus Chelsea, which is a midday kickoff on Sunday. Tottenham 29-20, the draw 9-4, and Chelsea in the betting at 19-10. Enhanced odds offers here. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 4-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win 5-1. Chelsea winners in the Champions League midweek. Tottenham, actually, we're recording this on Thursday morning. They've got a trip to Azerbaijan on Thursday evening, taking on Karabag. Quick turnaround for Tottenham here. They've not been done any favours, I don't think, by the Premier League with this.
Yeah, it's
this
very
match.
Tough. I mean, not only the trip back from Azerbaijan, but also the early kickoff Sunday that reduces their recovery time even further. Very difficult choice of how you deal with these. I mean, they're going down the route of flying straight back home after the Azerbaijan trip to then try and get some rest once they're back. Other clubs have done the have sort of stayed over after the game to try and rest there before flying back. No ideal solution. The one thing you would say is that Tottenham's record after European games this season has been pretty decent. I think they beat Palace at home after the first outing they'd had, but in other, I mean, again, they've had no favours from the Premier League because they've had away games after their three other Europa League ties. But in those, they've drawn at Arsenal and Swansea and thrashed Bournemouth 5-1. So, you know, they're a young, fit side and they've shown they can recover from these things. And they're also full of confidence at the moment. You mentioned Kane. He's got 7 goals in his last 4 Premier League games. So, you know, he's very much a man in form at the moment and got that striker's confidence in the way that Vardy has done. Where Costa, in contrast, is having a difficult time, isn't he? He's got only 3 Premier League goals, had a row with Mourinho at half-time in the week, and you know, things not going so well for him.
No, I think Roy Hodgson will be pretty happy that Mauricio Pochettino's at the helm at Tottenham, because he's brought through a number of young, talented English players. Dele Alli suspended for this match, though, and that could be crucial, because he's looked like arguably the best of them.
Yeah, funnily enough, the one I think is important is Dier in the holding role for Tottenham, who's made a big difference to them. You know, the young lad was playing as a defender last season and in and out of the side, and they did this thing trying him out in holding midfield at the start of the year, and he's been absolutely crucial. I mean, there's been that little access, hasn't there, of the two Belgian centre-halves, Alderweireld and Vertonghen, who have played all the time, and Dier in front of them has also played all the time, and between the three of them, they've sort of held the given Tottenham much more solidity, so that the attacking players have got some licence to work.
Prediction on this one then, Tottenham versus Chelsea, midday on Sunday?
I think I'd be going with a draw on this one.
Yeah, I think that's wise. 9-4 for the draw, Tottenham versus Chelsea at midday. West Ham versus West Brom is the 2:05 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. West Ham are even money, the draw 9-4, West Brom in the market 3-1. Enhanced odds, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win is 7-2. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win in the betting at 8-1. Obviously, Ralph, being the Midlands man, you'll have seen a lot of West Brom this season.
Yeah, I mean, they're very solid, lots of clean sheets. Signing Johnny Evans has made a big, big difference to them, added a real bit of quality. I mean, that's been a really good signing by Tony Pulis this season. And with Darren Fletcher in front, who brings a lot of experience to the midfield. I mean, it's interesting, Fletcher, that let go by Manchester United, implied by Louis van Gaal that, that, you know, he perhaps didn't have the legs to play in the Premier League anymore. I think he's not missed a single minute of a West Brom game in the Premier League ever since, you know, so he's very much proved that he still can get about the pitch and still put in big performances, and he's very often at the top of the distance covered charts for them as well. You know, he's made been a huge influence and a very influential captain. I mean, I actually grew up as a West Ham fan, so it pains me a bit this, but you know, when you look at West Ham's record, they've actually only won one game in their last eight. You sort of think of them as being having a really promising season. But it stalled a bit, and no Payet now because he's injured. They've got problems, and Albion, in contrast, have won three of their last five matches, so including that one over Arsenal last week.
Big price here as well, West Brom at 3-1. You mentioned Dimitri Payet, and I think he has undoubtedly been instrumental for West Ham, and everything they've done positively this season has gone through him. 3 months out, Payet, and it's going to be intriguing to see how West Ham cope with that injury.
Yeah, well, I think some of the others have got some ability. I mean, I like Lanzini, and Moses is a curious player who, you know, there's a lot of ability there, and it doesn't always come out. But you know, you think there has to be a game at some time where he suddenly produces what he's capable of. Like I say, heart says West Ham, but brain says that it might be a draw and away win this one.
Yeah, if you're looking at West Brom to win the game, that's 3-1. You can back West Brom draw no bet here with William Hill as well. That's in the market at 7-4. And if you want both results running for you here, you'll be looking at the handicap, and that's West Brom +1, which is in the market at 3-4, which seems fair enough as well. The footballing weekend concludes with Norwich versus Arsenal, which is 4:15 p.m. on Sunday evening. Norwich are 9-2 to win this game. The draw 3-1, and Arsenal in the betting at 6-10. Enhanced odds, Nathan Redmond to score and Norwich to win is 16-1. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 4-1. Arsenal winners in the Champions League midweek, keeping that hope alive for them. However, I mentioned on a podcast, the Pump podcast, the Premier League podcast we do each and every week, last week was crucial for Arsenal. Again, they couldn't afford to lose if they're going to win the title, and they were beaten by West Brom. And the concern with Arsenal, as is so often the case at this time of year under Arsene Wenger, the injuries are stacking up for the Gunners.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. One of the key things they've got is Aaron Ramsey back, played 23 minutes in the Champions League game against Dynamo Zagreb in the week, and I would have thought there's a fair chance that may have him ready to be starting at Norwich. I mean, I was at the West Brom game last week, and goodness me, I don't think you often see games where teams pour forward and do everything but score, and that was certainly what Arsenal were like in the second half at West Brom. You know, they hit the post a couple of times, missed a couple of open goals, Mayo, the goalkeeper, made a save or two, and then there was the penalty miss, of course, where Cazorla slipped over and hit the ball twice and spooned it over the bar. You can't see if they dominate Norwich in the same way another week that they won't get some goals on the end of it, especially with them having picked up a couple in the week in the Champions League, with Sanchez scoring a couple. He'd gone six without scoring before that Champions League game, but scored six in four before that. So you think, well, he's a player who gets his goals in patches. So yeah. I think there's a good chance of him getting something at Norwich.
Alexis Sanchez to score any time, 11-10 here with William Hill, 4-1 to score first and 4-1 to score last. That pretty much wraps us up as far as the Premier League this weekend is concerned, Ralph. I did check your Twitter prior to this podcast, though, and a boxing fan as well, Ralph, and a big bout this weekend. I think this is the highlight of the sporting weekend, arguably. Vladimir Klitschko versus Tyson Fury. We have betting here with William Hill, of course. Klitschko is 1-5 to win the bout. The draw 33-1, and Tyson Fury 4-1. Entertaining is the way I describe Tyson Fury. Some of the stuff that he's been doing pre-bout has been, I think, cringeworthy at times.
Yeah, I mean, Ralph, I would agree. He's a bit of a showman. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and he's rather fascinating because he's one of those that, I know the first time I interviewed him, I was expecting to find this sort of weird, amazing, peculiar, slightly off-the-wall character. And he's actually one of the most intelligent, sensible people I've ever sat down with. There's a great deal of showmanship in all this, the trash talking, trash talking at sometimes, singing is his latest thing he's been doing. So there's a lot of showmanship and a lot of psychology or attempted mind games, I think, going into this fight, that he's trying to unsettle Klitschko a little bit. Mm. The one thing I think he has on his side is his height. Klitschko, you know, 6'6", doesn't normally fight people who are bigger than him. He fights people who are smaller than him. He can dominate them. And this is a different one. And the last time Vladimir Klitschko fought somebody taller than him was Marius Walsh a few years ago. And he got caught by a huge punch in the fifth round and got taken all the way to having to win on points. And I just wonder whether Fury, who I think is a better, more powerful puncher than Marius Walsh was, I think if he can get inside and if he can rattle Klitschko with a punch, he's got the ability to follow that through and finish him off. You know, Klitschko for me is a limited fighter who's had his career managed brilliantly to give him a much better record than he probably ought to have, and I quite fancy Fury to be the one who undoes him this weekend.
Right, fancy Fury, a big price at 4-1, and Tyson Fury by knockout, technical decision or qualification is in the betting at 6-1 here with William Hill. It's difficult to envisage Fury winning on points, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think if it goes to points, I think Klitschko, particularly because he's fighting at home in Germany, having everything on his side, I'd agree with that. If it goes to points, I can't see Tyson Fury doing it. But I can see Fury producing the punches to stop him in some way inside the distance. It's a punt at the big odds, but that's the way I'd be going.
Ralph, thank you for your company. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy the football, enjoy
Certainly
the boxing
will.
As well, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Great stuff, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.